The next way that things can become trei for milchiks to fleishiks and fleishiks to milchiks is through salting. Meliach kiroseach. That salting is like roasting. That means the following. If you have something that is salted, and we'll see to what degree, it's considered like it's boiling hot. The salt, it has to be salt, wet salt. If it's dry completely, that this doesn't apply. Wet salt, so if you take two things and salt them together, and one is milchik and one's fleishik, it's as if, for a certain degree, you have what's it called a mixture of milchus and fleishiks, and it's awesome. Or if you salt something that's permissible with something that is awesome, then the thing that's permissible becomes awesome. That also is a possibility. So these are the considerations. First of all, the amount of salt. There are three kinds of salting. There's salting they used to do to preserve things for long times. They didn't have freezers. So the only way they could preserve something was to salt it, and then it was preserved for it wouldn't spoil. That kind of salting is very, very excessive. That kind of salting for sure affects, again, if it's wet salt, affects this kind of transference of tam, of taste. And the thing remains possible to transfer. In other words, it remains considered to be salted even if you wash the salt off, as long as you don't soak the thing and therefore nullify the salt. That's real salting that's really intense. Then there's a second level, which is something that we're more familiar with. That's salting for kashering purposes. Regular meat, you want to cook, so you salt it. You put salt all over, but basically a layer of salt. That salt isn't as intense as salting something for preservation. That salting also can affect this transfer of taste. But if you wash off the salt, even if you don't soak the thing, it nullifies the power to do that. Once the salt is washed off, this doesn't apply anymore. Okay. And then there's salting that's like we salt things to eat, right? Small amounts of salt. That really doesn't affect anything that's not considered salting. So those are the three kinds of salting. Now, what happens if something that is considered salted touches something that is what's it called the opposite, milchiks touches fleishiks, right? The salted cheese or salted meat touches cheese or whatever. So then the halacha is like this. If it is a something that's not fatty, then it only asers the outer klipa, a small amount of meat or cheese or whatever has to be cut away, or if something aser, you cut away a little bit of the outer layer skin of the thing. And that's mutter. If it's fatty food, and for all practical purposes, we're not clear what is considered fatty and what's not, so we consider everything fatty, then it ashes the whole thing. Unless it's 60 times as much, just like as if it would be cooked with it, or roasted with it. There's a big shaila whether this only applies if both things are salted, or if that for sure. If the thing that is prohibited is salted, and the thing that is permissible isn't salted, also it applies. And there it probably only answers the outer layer. If the thing that's permissible is salted, but the thing that's prohibited is not salted, then there's a big machlokas. L'chatchila, we say that it's a problem, and it's aser. But b'di'evet, if there's a big loss or something like that, it's possible that there'll be heterim for such a thing. Since the thing that's aser isn't salted, it's a thing that's mutter is salted, the most probably the taste from the usher thing doesn't go into the mutter thing. But there's an opinion that says no, since the salt of the mutter thing gets taste, so that taste goes into the usher thing and then it comes back into the mutter thing. So that's another difference, even though it's not according to everybody. In fact, according to the way the Ramah says, it shouldn't be a problem, but in some cases it is, that it would make a difference which one's on top. If the prohibited thing's on top, where we said by cooking, tatar govar, the bottom always is the one that is significant. So it's a shaila whether by salting we say the same thing, that it would make more of a difference if the prohibited thing is on the bottom and the permitted thing on the top, or vice versa. The Ramah says there's absolutely no difference. But the Maisa, there are those that argue and say there is a difference, and that's also a significant factor when you ask a Shaila, right, if you have something that was salted. Today, it's pretty much not Shriach, because most people don't kasher their own meat. So you don't usually have any salted things around. We don't preserve things with salt. Right? We do it with freezing. So the chances of this kind of a thing happening are very, very slight. I don't think I've ever had a shaila that was nogeya to things being salted together or whatever. When people salted meat, they kashered the meat themselves, that was the case. But today, people even know you have to kasher meat or whatever. It's like, there are no heads to chickens and no feet. You don't ever see these things. The Gioris that we're friendly with in America, when she first got married, they spent a year here in Eretz Israel, a few months here in Eretz Israel learning. And she went to Meir Shorin to buy meat. And she walked into the butcher shop, and the butcher asked her, kosher or not kosher? So she said, do I look like a Gioris? Why would you assume I don't want kosher meat? She was really insulted. What he meant was, do you want it kashered already, or do you want to kasher it? Right? But she couldn't figure out. She said to the guy, do I look like I'm not Jewish? Why would you assume that I don't want kosher? We ask everybody this that walks in the store, do you want kosher or not kosher? She was getting mentioned and made sure they sell non-kosher meat. So, but we're not familiar with Chalal. Today, I don't think, does anybody you know the kashers raw meat? Anybody know anybody who kashers raw meat?
My mother used to.
My mother also used to kasher meat, but I don't think today kids would ever know what it is.
But in London, they're not allowed to sell it.
They're not allowed to sell unkashered meat?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's impossible for anybody to ever know these halachos. So it's really, nobody salts things except for kashering, and therefore, what's it called? It's the kemat, not shy that these things, the women, any shy will ever come up like this, salted, yeah.
I have a question about kedei klipa. Is it on both sides, there's kedei klipa?
Yeah, all around.
I mean both the milk meat and the melted fat.
Right, we're afraid that the taste went in, but it didn't penetrate it.
Even when part was in touch, right. Even if it only touched
the right.
Milk,
it thing. Gets absorbed in, but only on the outer surface.
Okay.
Okay, so that is what's it called, and the shaila would also be if salted meat touches part of the things, whether it becomes fleishik or it becomes milchik. There's also nafkamina whether the things in Isser min haTorah, only rabbinically prohibited, may also make a difference. But again, I never had a shaila about this, and I don't think that it's really shaykh, that there should be a shaila based on the conditions that we have today, so... strike it up as something theoretical and doesn't really apply, except maybe in slaughterhouses where they kosher the meat, then they could have such a shiva.
When you pickle things with when the pickling thing has a lot of salt in it,
that's not salting. That's basically pickling. There's a sheet that holds that real strong salt water is not a shaila of kavush, but more of a shaila of malicha. But pasta like that. The salt has to be solid and wet to really be molded. Maliach, if it's not, then it's more of a shaila of kavush. The difference is obvious. This is asr immediately, salt. Whereas brine, salt water only gashes within 6 minutes, 18 minutes, whatever.